We started a new series a few weeks ago, and it's called The Path. And I just want to pray real quick, if you would pray with me to get us started. God, we just commit this time, these next few moments to you. God, we're here craving an experience with you. We're here wanting to learn and grow closer to you. And God, specifically this series and this week, we're diving into your wisdom through Solomon, through Proverbs. God, we just want to glean more of that wisdom from you. Help us to do that today as we just continue our worship of you by diving into your scripture. God, we just commit the rest of this time to you. Just ask that you would be with those who are burdened with physical, emotional, whatever hurts and baggage and whatever people are carrying with them today. God, and the people who can't be here because of sickness. God, we just lift up Teresa Barrett right now, still in the hospital. Sounds like not much is changing one way or the other. God, we just lift her up. We just ask you would heal her body and be with Danny as he waits alongside her. I would just ask that you would heal her and give her a recovery. So God, we just surrender the rest of this time, these needs, and this service to you. Help us to apply your word to our lives and leave here changed because of it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, paths, right? There are things that get you from point A to point B. The path of least resistance, that's a phrase I like to use, and oddly enough, I think of deer when I say that word. But if you're a hunter, you're looking to set your tree stand up on the path of least resistance, because deer, like us, are lazy and they don't want to walk through a bunch of brambles and other things if they can avoid it, right? So paths are things that get us comfortably from point A to point B. Now, we live in an area, right? We've talked about this for a couple weeks now, where lots of paths or roads, roads are just paths that you drive on, right? It gets you places quicker, and you can drive in pretty much any direction and hit a city within a couple of hours, a major one, because we live in the crossroads, right, of America. So we're looking at the wisdom literature, which is this category of the Old Testament where it's kind of poetic and it's written to give us wisdom about certain things and areas of life. Now, intelligence, right, when we think about wisdom, a lot of times we think about intelligence. Intelligence is knowing lots of things, right? Lots of facts, lots of recall. But wisdom is knowing what to do in lots of situations. And so it's more valuable. Intelligence is good, but wisdom is better, right? It's easy to know a bunch of facts, but not know what to do when the rubber meets the road. Wisdom gets you there. So we're landing out of this wisdom literature, we're landing in Proverbs, which is kind of what addresses on how to walk with other humans, right? You have Psalms that how to walk with God, or Job, kind of how to deal with pain, and Ecclesiastes is kind of the nature of life. Song of Solomon is the deals with romance and love, and Proverbs is how to be a good person, a moral, God-following Christian person around your fellow humans. So that's where we've landed in this series. So in week one, we talked about your direction determining your destination, not your intentions, right? So we can get on I-70 and head, and we can intend to go to Pittsburgh or wherever you land, but if we go west instead, we're going to head to St. Louis, right? Am I right? I need your guys' help. Okay, yes. So if I head west on 70, I'm getting to St. Louis, whether I intended to go to Pittsburgh or not, right? So my intention does not dictate or determine my destination, my direction, the way I'm heading does. So it really doesn't matter what we intend, right? It's where we go or what we do that gets us to a destination. So in order to align our intention and our direction, we talked about three things. We talked about getting wisdom, or diving into this wisdom literature in Scripture. We talked about getting accountability finding a mentor, finding an accountability partner, finding a small group or a Sunday school class to do life with and let people in on what is going on with you or what's happening in your life. And then we talked about long-term versus short-term thinking, right? Making decisions that don't just affect now or tomorrow, but the future, even, you know, grandkids and great-grandkids even. We talked about this getting set up for the long-term. And then last week, week two, we talked about the prudent versus the simple. Do you guys remember this? Thank you, Dan. Dan remembers. We talked about the prudent versus the simple. And we talked about the prudent and the simple seeing the same thing, right? We read this scripture where a prudent person sees danger and takes refuge, right? The simple keeps going and pays the penalty. So they're seeing the same thing, but they're reacting differently. And so we talked about the prudent person makes course correction. It makes, when they see something ahead, they take the detour, right? They don't just blow through the road sign and then get to the construction site and say, now what? Right? They see what's ahead and they make course correction. So four parts of that is one, to change direction. You have to actually do something to avert your path. The second thing was give something up or sacrifice something. Oftentimes, we're on a path because it feels good or it's something I want to do, right? It's something that makes sense for me in that moment. So we'll have to sacrifice whatever that thing is that's giving us this feeling of satisfaction or this false sense of security or whatever that may be. We have to give something up or sacrifice something. Number three was to face the music, to admit you've done something wrong or admit you've made a wrong decision at some point to put you on this path that's leading to destruction. And then number four was to breathe a sigh of relief, right? And we talked about the three little pigs or the two simple pigs and the one prudent pig who builds his house with bricks while the other two use like straw and sticks or something, and the wolf for some reason blows them down. The pig that built his house with the bricks, he's breathing this sigh of relief at the end, right? Not only has he helped himself in the long term, it took a long time to get there and his friends were off having fun, but at the end he could breathe a sigh of relief knowing that he had set himself up, he had made the wise decision, and then he could help his friends who hadn't. So that's where we left off last week. This week, oh, I did that pretty quickly. That was only about 5 minutes. We got all kinds of time. This week, have you ever bought something that brought happiness in the moment, but maybe necessarily wasn't the best thing long term? Anybody been there? Yeah, I think all of us have done something like that. So maybe this one is one that we have made the mistake of, but maybe it's been, you know, Thanksgiving and Hobby Lobby's had Christmas stuff out since August and you're just excited for Christmas and Thanksgiving's over and you've bought this dancing Santa, right? And you're like, this is awesome. This is going to remind us that, you know, Christmas time's here, plays our favorite Christmas song or whatever, and you put it on the counter and it's motion activated, right? So anytime something goes by, the thing sings and dances, right? Have anybody seen these or have one maybe? Okay. Well, you know, you put that in there after Thanksgiving, and by December 1st, you're wanting to hit it with a bat, right? It's the worst decision you could ever make, especially in our house when kids go by, I don't know, 500 times an hour. I mean, it is bananas, right? You're like, I'm so sick of this song. I'm so sick of the Santa dancing, and some of them play the saxophone. It's a lot, right? In the moment, you're like, this is going to make me feel really, really good. It's going to make me feel Christmassy and you know, get the season kicked off. And then by day three, you are ready to whip that thing in the trash, right? Maybe you're the person that had to have the lifted pickup truck. A couple years ago, not so bad, right? But, you know, when you buy a vehicle, you hope it's going to last more than a couple years, and now it's costing you $58 one way to work, right? And you're getting a lot of your pay that day is heading to gas. It's not ideal. Now you're wishing you would have bought the lifted smart car instead, right? I think we've all been there. We've all made these decisions and thought, oh, this thing's awesome or this is cool and it's going to be great. And then This thing gets 4 miles to the gallon, and I have to drive to Indy to go to work. This is not a good situation, right? Maybe some of you have been there. Or maybe you're the person who said, I'm going to get on the health kick. I'm going to get on the exercise kick. I'm going to buy this treadmill, right? And you put it in whatever extra room you have in your house and use it, I don't know, 3-4 times, and next year it's in the yard sale. Anybody been there? Yeah. Yes, hang clothes on it. That is exactly right. This is just an extra closet, right? Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. We've all made these decisions where in the moment it's like, this is going to make me happy, or this is going to fulfill me, or make me feel satisfied or better about myself. And then, you know, run on it a couple times and decide that donuts are just better, right, than running. And they are. Trust me, they are. But it's not necessarily the wise decision. So we want what makes us happy in the moment, right? And I'll give you a couple other examples as to why that's true. We have things like 90 days or 1 year or however many. I saw car dealerships during COVID. It's like 72 months, same as cash, right? No interest for whatever. We can take something home now and pay for it later. We did this when we were very early married with a big couch. And we had a living room that would kind of hold it, and we bought it, and within a year our kid and dog had ruined it, and it wouldn't fit the house that we were moving into. We hadn't even got it paid off yet, right? Just a horrible plan for us. But in that moment you feel like, oh, this is something that'd be nice and we need and or we want, and we don't even have to pay it off for a year. You know, that's our problem to deal with later, right? We talked about that last week too. I'm terrible with that. That's future Dylan's problem. We push that to him. Or, remember when you had to wait 20 whole minutes to get a pizza? Wasn't that the worst? I want pizza now, right? You can just walk into Little Caesars and it's ready for you. And we lived, when we were in college, my roommates and I, we lived next door to a Little Caesars. The worst. Then the hot and ready had just become a thing too. And the cool thing for a college student about hot and readys is we had what was at Olivet, we had what was called Tiger Dollars, and they were on there. So you could, basically your parents could put money on this essentially debit card, and you could use it at Taco Bell and Little Caesars and stuff. It was awesome. Anyway, we were right next door, so we would go swipe our Tiger Dollars, but we would go at like 5 till 11 when they were getting ready to close, right? Hot and ready means you have to have pizza hot and ready, right? 5 minutes till close, you've got a pizza full of, a cabinet full of pizza, right? You're walking out of there. Use this, college kids. You're walking out of there with, you pay for your hot and ready, and they give you like 5 extra because they're just going to throw them away. And the people that work there are so sick of eating them. I worked at Pizza Hut, trust me. They're so sick of eating them. They just hand you the pizza. Then you're the hero. You go back to the apartment, everybody gets a pizza. It's awesome, right? But the $5 hot and ready, it becomes a thing because Little Caesars knows that we don't have to make the best pizza or the fanciest pizza, but we know someone will walk in and give us $5 to have a pizza instantly, right? Because we want what we want when we want it. And another example is Prime Now, right? 2 days was not enough. We needed stuff in 2 hours. So you can click Prime. I don't think it works in Middletown. I think we're too rural. But if you're in a city, you can click your order, and it's at your house within 2 hours via van or drone. It's crazy, right? I mean, it's a crazy world we're living in. We want whatever makes us feel good in the moment. So with all the quick fixes and impulse buys and pay later, you know, buy now, pay later options, right? We get on the wrong path. And so we're going to answer 3 questions today. The first one is, why do we often find ourselves on the wrong path? Why do we find ourselves? Why can't we resist this instantaneous gratification? Why do we find ourselves on the wrong path? So we talked about in the first week, direction determines destination, right? Where we're heading determines where we're going to end up. Then last week we talked about prudent people making course correction. This week is, why are we on the wrong path in the first place? How do we end up? Like, how do we just avoid this wrong path altogether? So the first answer to this question is our hearts are on a quest for happiness and not truth, right? Our hearts are on a quest for happiness and not truth. Left on our own ability, we just want what makes us feel good, right? Can we relate to that? It's not just me, right? Okay, good, good. Our hearts are on a quest for happiness, not a quest for truth. Andy Stanley said it like this. We want to be, as in feel, happy, right? We want to be, as in feel, happy. And our quest for happiness often trumps our appreciation for and pursuit of what is true. Basically, our heart's saying, I want what feels good. I don't really care what is good or noble or righteous. I just want to do this thing because it makes me feel comfortable. How many of you wake up in the morning and your brain goes straight to what sounds fun today, right? Or what's going to make me feel good? How can I do this day as easy as possible? I'm guilty of that all the time. Or do you wake up and say, what would be true and honorable and noble and right to do today? Right? If we're left to our own hearts, it's going to draw toward the comfort and the fun. And then the second answer is our heart will almost always choose the happiness now path. There's lots and lots of overlap here, okay? So we're not saying that your heart is going to choose the wrong thing all the time, right? Because a lot of times they do overlap. Here's some examples. Maybe you get up and go to work because you want money, right? Because money makes you happy, or not having to be sent to collections makes you happy, right? And so that's a productive thing that would make us feel good about ourselves. Or maybe you wake up and think, I'm going to go on a hike today. Well, exercise is a good thing. You know, it boosts your mental health. It makes you healthier for the future. That's a great thing to do, right? That's a good overlap. Maybe just personal hygiene, right? Makes my mouth feel good when I brush my teeth and floss in the morning, right? I can't be the only one that thinks that. I hope not. Goodness, I'm glad I'm up here. It makes you happy to not have people shying away from you, right? Because your breath stinks. Not really necessarily because it's noble or right or it's going to set me up for a better future or less dentist bills, but it makes me happy. It's a good overlap. And spiritually, maybe you wake up and go straight to Scripture, and that's awesome, right? That's a great thing to do, and you do it because it makes you happy, and feeling closer to God gives you a good feeling. It makes you happy. But the point is that our heart chooses happiness, and there's a lot of overlap. It's not always bad. The problem is, when there isn't overlap, it puts us on the wrong path. So if your car needed fixed, and you said, I have a roll of duct tape I can slap on real quick and be on my way, or I can go and find a fender and figure out what tools I need to put it on and all that, and you choose the duct tape one, right? Well, that's going to make you happy for a minute until it falls off or until some kid, you know, rips it off, right? Or maybe you got into that relationship where you knew that isn't going to end well, but right now it makes me happy and it makes me feel good. Or maybe you made that choice in the moment that felt incredible, but now you're just dragging the weight of an addiction or shame or guilt around from that decision. If there's lots of things that don't overlap, that are not good when our heart chooses the happiness now. So when our heart is on a happiness quest, we end up on the wrong path. All right, the second question we're going to try and answer today is, how do I start on the right path? And we're going to turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We're actually going to go through all the way through 12, so we'll be in there, but we're going to break it up. I'm sure you guys have heard this scripture before. If you haven't, it's awesome. But it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. So, how do we start out on the right path? First, we trust in the Lord with all our heart. Right? Our money still says, in God we trust. It's a little ironic, right? Because usually the last thing that Americans trust God with is their money, right? But it still says it, right? We can live in this model. But what we mean by, or what Scripture means by trusting in God with all your heart is that in every area of life, you place your hope, your faith, your plans, your trust, your confidence, whatever it is that you're dealing with or planning out or going through or organizing, you place that in God's hands in every area of your life. You trust in God with all your heart. The second answer to this question is lean not on your own understanding, right? In this scripture, lean not on your own understanding. How many of you heard the phrase listen to your heart before? It's in songs. It's probably a movie title or two. It's a big thing, right? Or maybe follow your heart, right? Well, we know our heart is on a happiness quest, right? Our own understanding is not something that we should be following. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. That doesn't sound like something I want to follow or listen to, right? Something that's deceitful above all things. Our hearts are on a happiness quest. If we follow our hearts, we're going to go for the happiness now scheme. Follow the heart of God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Follow God's heart. Number three, acknowledge Him in all your ways. This is just the scripture, by the way. This really isn't my words, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in your actions, right? It's easy to say, oh, thanks God, you got me through whatever. Acknowledge Him in your actions, your thoughts, your decisions, your spending, your relationships. There's a lot of ways to acknowledge God. I mean, and so on. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. So then the third question we're going to try and answer today out of this scripture, and we're going to kind of keep going here, is what are my next steps? So it's easy to say, this is how you start on the right path. What are my next steps and how to do that? And Solomon ends up expounding on what he said in this scripture. So we all know verses 5 and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I have that one memorized from when I was a kid. But do you have verses 7 through 12 memorized? No, I don't either, right? There's more. Solomon says more about this. So what are my next steps if I want to do this well? So Proverbs 3 says 5 through 12. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So step one, what are my next steps? Step one is do not be wise in your own eyes. How many of you have approached a situation before and said, I've done this 1,000 times, or I have a degree in this, or I've taught a class on this. I don't need God. Like, why would I consult God on this? I'm an expert in this category. Anybody? I'm the only conceited person here? Okay. Goodness. Yeah, it's easy to approach something you've done a lot and say, bah, I don't need God's help in this. You have never been where you are, right? You've been to church before. You've been here before. You've probably been in this seat that you're in a lot, right? Your names aren't on them, but they are, right? You've been where you've been before, but you've never been where you are. You've never been here as this person today. You've never been dealing with the issues in the way that you've been dealing with them. You haven't carried this specific set of issues in with you before, right? Not just here in church, but anywhere in life. You've faced situations, work, school, driving down the road. Probably you will do each of those things thousands of times in your lifespan, but they're never exactly the same, right? We have to realize that we need God and we need His wisdom. We need to consult with Him on these issues. Consult with God, rely on His wisdom. Scripture said this will bring nourishment to your body and your bones, right? This helps. This is a good thing. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So step two is honor God's provision for you. Honor God's provision for you. You can give without loving. Right? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. What I mean by that is you can have excess and help someone, right? No problem. Here you go. You don't have to love them or even really care about them. You just have excess, right? Give of the first fruits of your crops, and your barns will be overflowing. If you love someone, you're not giving them, or if you don't love someone, you're just helping someone out. You're not giving them the best of what you have, right? I'll try and tell this in more of an illustration. So in your 20s, before you had kids, or maybe you had them really early, so before you had kids, right, you went to concerts and you went to sporting events and you did things, right? You guys, I mean, we lived that life before kids before? Okay, so you would go to concerts and you would go to events and you were probably struggling to make ends meet, but what little money you had, you were able to scrounge up enough for that ticket. And maybe for some of you guys, it was, I don't know, Led Zeppelin, or are you guys old enough for Elvis? I don't know, whoever you were going after, right? Some of you, it was probably Justin Bieber, or if you were a lady growing up in my years, it was Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. I mean, there were these big artists. When they come to town, you thought, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I can't miss this. I'm going to make this work. Even though I have no money, I'm going to get enough, right? Because I love this group, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to pay my money and go to this. And then you have kids, right? The same groups come into town. And what's your response? I've got diapers, formula. I got all this stuff I got to buy, right? I've got things. I have this person that I'm providing for, that I love, right? So when I love something, my priorities change and my giving changes. It's no longer, this concert is the most important thing in the world, because at one point in your life it is, and that's okay. But when you have a new person to provide for and care for, it makes it a lot harder to put importance on what was important, right? You can love without giving, or you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. In the same way, loving God changes our priorities, right? If we give God our excess because it just kind of is what it is, you know, I have extra, I'll give it this week or this month or whatever. If we love God, we're making a priority to give. And it's not because God needs it, right? Scripture says if you give of your first fruits, your barn will then overflow and your vat will brim over, right? It's not because God needs it. It's because he wants to bless us. He wants our faith to be in him. So if we give God our best, he will bless us more than we will ever need. And we can just turn over and return that blessing to others and turn it into more and more blessing. Verse 11, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." Don't resent the Lord's correction, the Lord's rebuke. He's doing it as if he were a parent disciplining a child. So step three is don't blame God for your pain, right? Job is kind of all about this, but if you want to dive into more of that concept, read Job. But don't blame God for your pain is step three. So this is what Solomon is saying. Here's how to make your path straight, or here's how God will start you off on the right path, and then here is how you do it, right? So step three, don't blame God for your pain. Why did God let this happen to me? Anybody muttered that before or heard someone say, "Oh, if God loves me, why is he letting this happen?" It's hard not to feel that way sometimes, right? Why did God let this happen to me? The reality of the situation is, most of the time, we let things happen to us by our choices. God is a God who gives us freedom to choose things, right? And so when we're choosing things and he's saying, oh, no, please don't do that, right? Here's the path over here. Then we get in this point where we're in so much pain and we think, oh, it's only, this could only be God letting this happen to me. Our choices are what puts us in these predicaments, I'd say most of the time. The rest, right, when we're in pain, that maybe someone has done to us or is not something we couldn't have avoided, right? We chose sin, we being humans, original sin, Adam and Eve, we chose sin and now the world's broken. It was never God's plan for you to live in pain or to live in separation or to have sin even enter the world. But we decided we knew what was best, right? We took a different path other than the one that God was putting out for us. And if I was Adam and one of you were Eve, we would have made the exact same decision, right? It wasn't kind of like their fault and not mine. We chose sin as the human race, and now the world is broken because of it. We can't blame God for that pain. So God is trying to direct us out of this, is what Solomon is saying, as a parent would a child. So, in closing today, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. We walked through it, but that's why Solomon put it first before this other thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Let that be our prayer this week. God, we want so badly to just be on the path that you have for us. God, we just thank you for this wisdom that you've given us through Solomon over 3,000 years ago. And we thank you that it relates today. Your word is alive and it's living and it's applicable to our lives. God, help us. Help us to just glean some of this wisdom. Help us to be better about consulting with you, following your heart instead of what makes us happy in the moment. If happiness were the goal, we would be very good at that. But God, the goal is to advance your kingdom, get as many people to know you as possible, and then allow you to bless us through that. God, help us to make that wise decision. Help us to take that right step this week. God, we just thank you for this scripture. Help us. Help us, God, to trust you with all of our hearts, not to lean on our own understanding, and acknowledge you in all of our ways. And we just ask that that would be a reality in our lives this week. We love you, and we just want to live to glorify you. Amen. The worship team is going to sing. I'd like you to take this time, these next few minutes, to just respond to whatever God's been saying to you this morning. Our altars are always open. It's a great place to respond, but you can do that however you'd like. Would you stand and sing with us?